Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
You might recognize this week's guest from her roles on Silicon Valley, or Veep, or Curb Your Enthusiasm. Now, she's about to break out in a much bigger way in the new holiday rom-com, Happiest Season.
How can you not like the lights and the decorations?
This is beautiful.
Come with me to my parents' house for Christmas. Blame it on
Christmas. Abby, you and Harper have a perfect relationship.
She is my person, and I really want everyone to know that. I want to marry her. I'm going to ask her dad for his blessing.
Way to stick to the patriarchy.
Oh, give me forgiveness. There's something that we should talk about. Do you remember when I came out to my parents? That's not entirely accurate.
My perfect girl.
Sloan, she's our supermom.
Harper is our powerhouse. And Jane...
This is The Last Laugh. I'm Matt Wilstein from The Daily Beast, and today I am joined by the incredibly funny Mary Holland. I first became aware of Mary through her brilliant character work on the Comedy Bang Bang podcast. Over the years, she has used the improv skills she honed on stage at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater to infuse her many scene-stealing appearances on some of my all-time favorite TV shows. Not only does Mary deliver a one-of-a-kind breakthrough performance in Happiest Season, which lands on Hulu this week, but she also co-wrote the very funny screenplay with director Clea DuVall. I just had a blast talking to Mary for this episode, and I hope that you fall in love with her as much as I did. So here's me with Mary Holland.
It's happening.
Amazing. So yeah, I was looking back, the last time, I don't know if you remember this, that we met was at the 500th episode taping of Comedy Bang Bang.
Yes, of course.
I was the weirdo sitting in the corner of the studio.
I mean, you really witnessed some madness.
I really did. I mean, it was as a fan of the podcast, it was very special to be there to see how it all happens. So now I think they're doing all those podcasts like this now over Zoom. Do you miss being in the sweaty room and doing Comedy Bang Bang in person?
With the cans? I do actually. It is fun to do it over. I mean, the convenience factor of doing it in one's own home is great. We all love it. But yes, there's a kinetic energy that it's hard to capture.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, again, thank you for doing this podcast. I'm really excited to talk to you, especially with this movie coming out, Happiest Season, which I got to see actually a couple weeks ago.
Good.
And really, really enjoyed it. I had actually had family staying with me and we all watched it, and it was like just the perfect holiday watch, which I'm sure is how it's designed. So
yeah, that's the way to do it. You nailed it.
So let's kind of go from the beginning. How did this happen that you ended up not only having this really amazing breakout performance in the movie, but also co-writing the screenplay?
Yeah. Well, so Clea DuVall and I met on Veep when I had a role in season 6, and our characters never had any scenes together, but I would go to the table reads. And so I would see her there, and we just very quickly connected and had this chemistry with each other. And she's been writing things on her own for a long time. And she had this idea for a Christmas movie that was inspired by her experiences. And she wanted to write it with somebody because, you know, comedies are always more fun to write with somebody. I really am just so floored that she picked me to do it because we didn't know each other at the time, really. We just had this great rapport, and she one day just asked me she told me about the idea and asked me if I wanted to write it with her. And I was like, yes, I do.
And you've done, you know, improv and sketch and all this stuff, but you hadn't really written a screenplay like that before, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was my first experience doing that. Yeah.
So do you think, you know, having not done it before, what was that like for you to kind of all of a sudden be collaborating on this screenplay?
I mean, I really was so lucky that I was able to partner with Clea on it, because Clea is such a phenomenal writer and storyteller, and she knows what she's doing. and also she wanted to direct this movie. So she had the vision for it going into the writing process. So it was, for me, just kind of stepping in and joining her was so, it was so easy, and it was so organic. And it was my first time experiencing this writing process, it for sure never felt like overwhelming or daunting or like something that I was out of my depth with. Like I really felt taken care of by her as a writing partner.
Was it always the plan from the beginning for you to play Jane, this character?
It was. When we were first brainstorming the characters in the family, we knew that we wanted her to have two sisters and for one of them to be, you know, a bit more eccentric. And
To say the least.
And as soon as we decided that, I was like, oh, I want to play her. So we really, from the very beginning, we wrote Jane for me. And there's so many details that are true of me that we imbued in Jane.
Like what?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm a huge fan of fantasy fiction. So there's that. I feel like just her general demeanor, Jane is kind of an amped up version of me. She's very playful, goofy, very like joyful and excited to like be in the world. and it's so much fun also like to see the contrast between Jane and this very buttoned up family that she's in and watch them try to like deal with her and her try to deal with them. There's just, you know, inherent comedy in that. But yeah, Jane is very close to my heart.
How much of the writing occurred on set in terms of improvising or, you know, coming up with new jokes in the moment? And was that something that you were kind of involved in while playing it?
Yeah. I mean, well, Clea always like gave us alt jokes. She would come and give us some jokes to try out. And then I will say like a lot of the sort of making a scene feel alive, like, where it's not like you say a line, it's where it feels like, oh, everybody's like living in this scene. A lot of those moments were improvised. For example, with the family in the kitchen when we're trying to make cookies and I'm trying to help Sloane out and she does not want my help. And all of that was like, very much we were finding those beats in the moment and Clea was like helping us craft that. But especially with Jane, because, you know, she is so free spirited and so uninhibited, the improvising as Jane just felt very natural. Like she's not just going to like say her line and then not react anymore in the scene. You know what I mean? Like she's going to like have little moments of, oh, and, yeah. Like she's so tuned in and like, so in the moment that improvising as her felt very natural.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously have an improv background and have done so much work on TV and movies. I imagine that people often are calling on you to improv or encouraging you to improv in projects. Is that the case? Or do you feel like
it is? Yeah, it is. And I also think just in general, even if you don't end up using whatever takes that have the improv in them, allowing an actor, and especially one with an improv background, to improvise, it really, I think, helps. It helps me at least like relax into a scene and like really feel like I have ownership over what I'm doing in it. You know what I mean? Like I feel like I'm able to settle more deeply into my character's point of view or, you know, the situation that's happening.
You have an incredible cast in this movie, starting with Kristen Stewart, who's probably the biggest star in the movie, but she and everybody else, and Alison Brie and Dan Levy and so many good people. Were you involved in that process at all? Or how do you feel about sort of how that all came together?
I am floored and over the moon. I'm simultaneously floored and then also over the moon.
Seems like it might be contradictory, but in this case,
but it's not. Yeah. It makes sense. Just don't think about it too much. Yeah. this cast is so stellar, and every single one of them, what they brought to the roles that we had written, it just exceeded every expectation, and they breathed life into these characters, and they became these three-dimensional people in a way that was so cool and satisfying to see. And the casting process, like beyond writing Jane for me, that was fully, you know, up to Clea as the director, and that she took such great care with this story and was so meticulous and intentional with who she cast in each role. And you can really see it. Like, I feel like everybody individually is so strong, but then also the dynamics that were created are so specific and relatable and fun.
But you weren't writing for any specific people while you were actually writing it, because it was cast afterwards. Is that right?
Yeah. The characters really existed on their own. And we tried to make these, I feel, in the writing process, make these characters, give each character like a fully fleshed out arc of a story for themselves, in addition to this main story we were telling. But yeah, we tried to just create these characters that existed independently, and then the people who came on board to play them just knocked it totally out of the park.
Yeah, it's really fun to see Kristen in a comedy like this, because it's really not what she's known for in a lot of ways, and to sort of see her in a different light.
I know, it's so cool, and she's so funny in it.
Yeah, everyone's really funny. She joked, I saw in an interview she just did, that she was just trying to keep up with all of the, you know, comedy people in the movie. I'm not sure if she was being self-deprecating or if that was accurate, but she, you know, because there are some heavy hitting, you know, comedy people in the movie. So I think whenever someone comes in, you know, whether it's like hosting Saturday Night Live or, you know, doing, when they all of a sudden have to be thrown in with these, you know, very quick comedy minds.
I can imagine that feels very overwhelming, but she was so up to the task and she was so great. But yeah, I think Clea populating the cast with so many comedy people was smart on many levels, and not just because we're making a comedy. It's also the kind of playfulness that comedians can bring. It keeps everybody loose, and it has this collaborative spirit about it.
Yeah. You just reading some of the, you know, early reviews and articles about it, there's this kind of like way that people are describing the movie as radical, which I find so strange, because it's not in the way the movie feels and what it is, it really is not that. But because it's a rom-com with two women at the center, that's how it's sort of being described. So I'm wondering what you think when you hear people kind of talking about that way. I guess on the one hand it is, but on the other hand, it's really not.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I feel like this kind of story should be in the rom-com genre. Like it shouldn't be radical. And hopefully there will be so many more. Like this will be the first of so many. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think it is a universal story, and it's told through a very specific lens, but the holiday spirit of it, the love story, all of it is it's so relatable. Holiday movies are so important to us. They really mean a lot to a lot of people. And so I feel like this movie is so special and heartwarming and moving, and I can understand why some people would be like, oh, it's radical, it's flip, it's doing all this crazy stuff with the genre. But then at the same time, it's like, well, no, it's like such a pure example of the genre.
Absolutely. Yeah. Were there holiday movies that you either loved growing up or were kind of looking to while you were writing it, that you were kind of trying to either emulate or move away from or just thinking about in relation to?
Yeah. I mean, Home Alone always sticks out in my mind. That's my favorite holiday movie. And it's also, I feel like we really, both of us love that movie. And we really tried to capture that sort of family dynamic. You feel in Home Alone, like immediately thrust in to like the chaos and how hectic the holidays are and how complicated the relationships with all the family members are. And that was something that we, you know, were excited to like infuse in this movie, explore those, what it means to go home for the holidays.
It's great that you guys were able to, you know, shoot it before everything started shutting down. Were you still kind of working on it after all that? And was there any kind of post situation that you had to deal with?
Well, our last day of shooting was February 29th.
Oh my God.
And then we came home on March 1st. And I remember it was like, there were even flying home that day, I was like, oh, we got, oh, like had a mask, had sanitizer, all this stuff. And then everything shut down and it was like, I can't believe we got this done. And I can't believe we were just shooting a movie where we were all just like, had no idea what was around the corner. But I think Clea pretty quickly went right into post-production, but once production was done, wrapped,
And then obviously, you know, I think it was intended as a movie to be in theaters, which is not a thing that so much exists at the moment.
That's right.
But it is going to be on Hulu, which in a way I think is great because it gives, you know, probably more people might end up seeing it this way than they would have in the theaters. How do you feel about that? Because it's something everyone's dealing with now, is like the expectation of what something is when you're making it versus, you know, what it is when it comes out.
Totally. I was so excited for it to come out in movie theaters. Just the idea of getting to see it on this big screen and to get to go and watch it with a big audience. I was really looking forward to it. And then when it became clear that that could not and should not happen. It was disappointing. It was a bummer, but then when I found out that Hulu was going to be streaming it, it's like all the excitement that I had about it being on the big screen, I was like right back in that excitement because so many people are going to be able to see it and they're going to be able to watch it at home. Like, and this is a movie about family and about love and what your home means. And so I think it's really fitting that people will be able to watch it in their most safe space in their homes.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's the same thing that happened, you know, with Palm Springs, which came out on Hulu earlier in the year. And I feel like that was, you know, an example of a movie that would have been really fun to see in the theater, but like probably did even better and got even more attention in a way when everyone could watch it at home.
Yeah. I'm thrilled at the idea of it being so widely accessible and for people to be able to watch it and still be safe. I'm just so excited by that.
So how has the pandemic, it's affected everybody's careers in different ways and sort of what you're able to do. So how do you feel like it's impacted you over these last, you know, almost 9 months now?
Well, there was so many moments of, is this it?
Yeah.
It's like, is it
over?
The end of this industry? Will we continue making things? Like it was very unclear how it was going to proceed, but I've done a few days out on productions in the last month or two, and they found a way to make it work and make it safe and still be able to create movies and TV shows and commercials. Like it's really kind of amazing to watch how the industry has adapted. But on a personal level, this time I had like some ideas with friends of things we wanted to write. And this time has been really productive in that way and it's been so nice to have like a creative outlet because I was performing improv every week. Like that was my outlet and it was so important to me. And, when that went away, it was really tough, but being able to write with friends and work on new ideas that like I'm fully focused on that really helped the time go by.
Yeah. Were you still performing every week at UCB in LA or where were you?
UCB in LA. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've really been involved with that theater, you know, from the beginning of your career, right? What was sort of the early days for you of getting involved at UCB like?
I mean, doing practice groups every week in people's living rooms. I started taking classes and then fell in love with it right away. Formed practice groups, was practicing every week. I auditioned for like house teams a couple years in a row, didn't get on any teams, but there's a really strong indie improv scene in LA, like lots of people running their own independent improv shows. So I was doing a lot of those and just having the time of my life with it. And then eventually did get on a house team and started like performing there and shows at UCB more regularly. And it just it became such a massive part of my life and my career. I feel like I don't know if I would have ended up where I did were it not for doing improv and performing at that theater.
What were sort of the earliest opportunities that it led to UCB? What were the things that you started doing sort of out of that world?
One of the things that I discovered in performing at UCB was how important the community is. And the first like TV job that I got was this part on Silicon Valley. It was a one episode thing in the first season. And I knew Thomas Middleditch from like the improv world and Zach Woods. And I remember thinking like, because prior to that, whenever I would get the opportunity to audition for something, it was like, this feels so far away. This does not feel accessible to me. I don't know how I would ever get this or like be in this world. It just feels so far. But knowing Thomas and Zach from the comedy scene, I was like, oh, these are friends. And I feel like the improv world and through UCB and then the comedy scene in general, it suddenly felt like, oh, we're all just doing this. Like, oh, it felt much more doable. And I felt like I was already a part of a community that was doing it.
Coming up, Mary talks about what it was like to step into the worlds of Silicon Valley, Veep, and Curb Your Enthusiasm before telling some delightfully embarrassing audition stories.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What was the experience like on that one episode of Silicon Valley that you did? Did it feel like being thrown into something that you didn't expect? Or
yeah, it was overwhelming. It was very exciting to be there, and that group was so tight knit right off the bat, that whole cast. But they were there was a ton of improvising on that set, and that was fun to. It was so fun to watch them improvise, and then also. That really put me at ease, I think, where it was like, oh, this is what we do. It's not something crazy. It's just like, just relax. It's sort of like being at the theater.
I owe you an apology. I was way off base.
Well, yeah, you were.
He cleared it all up for me.
Jared, really?
Yeah, he's your partner, right?
Yeah, he is. One of many. Probably too many.
How could I not have seen this? Obviously, you're not obsessed with me. Richard, it's none of my business, but be safe, okay?
Okay.
Well, you've somehow managed to become like the staple of every HBO show because you've done a bunch of them now. You did, I mean, Silicon Valley, and then you mentioned Veep, where you met Clea, which was, that was just a great run of episodes that you had on that show.
Thanks.
As Shawnee Tans, the Jonah's fiance.
Yeah.
How did you end up in that role on that show? And then what do you remember about the, you know, first episode that you did on it?
Oh my gosh. Well, Tim is a good friend. And Tim, I knew, I had done like a bunch of
Tim Simons, who plays Jonah.
Tim Simons. Yeah. And I knew him from the improv world and comedy scene. And so when I auditioned for that part, I was so excited just at the idea of like getting to play opposite him. And then I did the initial audition and then came back to do like a chemistry read with Tim. And that was such a blast. It was like so much fun playing off him. I mean, his character is just so easy to like react to. And in my case, my character's case, be upset by.
Jonah.
Hi.
Hey, hi. So, that really happened, huh?
Why don't you take me back to your place? Do you live with your mom?
No, she wishes. I live in my office. DC rents are insane. Ben and Ken say I can't use campaign money. Can I use campaign money?
No, you can't use campaign money.
Okay, second opinion.
I chose your outfit for the day, but I'm donating the rest of your suits to a charity for rescued circus giraffes.
I'm pretty sure I can take care of dressing myself.
Can you?
Hey, do you have time to,
No.
Okay. It's just you look really good in my robe, and I thought if you had some time, maybe I could finger you or something.
No, I have to get going.
Okay.
We'll fuck again tonight at 7:30 with less kissing.
Okay, yeah, no, 7:30 works.
Take it a pop tart.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
What?
Just this is the first time that that's happened since the treatment, since the cancer, and I.
Oh my god, get to it. What?
Did my missing ball freak you out?
Honestly, it was one less thing to worry about.
So yeah, it was really nice to just see a friendly face in that kind of high pressure audition situation and just have fun and play with each other. It was super fun. And then when I got to be on the show, I was just totally blown away by the level of commitment every single person on that show had. The writers and Julia and all the cast had to truly making every moment the funniest it could be. They held themselves to the highest standard, and it shows. It's such a genius show. That was really inspiring to be around.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible show, and I think that the way they do it is different than a lot of other shows. I mean, how would you describe sort of the approach to just being in a scene on that show?
When the season that I was working on, I don't know if this is how it's always been or if it shifted in the seventh season, but they would have three cameras going. And then, so they really captured all the angles they could right away.
Not like a new setup for each. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Cause there was so much improvising and playing that you want to capture those things as they happen. And so, yeah, we would do the scene as scripted, and we would play with different pacing and things. They would give us all jokes, and then we would do what they call a fun run, which is where we would just totally play and work within the situation that we're playing in, but to just really just try things. And that was very cool to see. It was, yeah, it's a cool experience.
And then the other HBO show that I wanted to ask you about is you were on the most recent season finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is incredible, with Sam Richardson from Veep.
What a dream.
You play a married couple and very funny scene in that show. So yeah, what was it like walking into that world?
Yeah. Again, Sam, I knew we had done a movie together. We were in Hawaii together in for Mike and Davey wedding dates. And we got very close. We were super good friends, just hanging out in Hawaii and making each other laugh. And so I auditioned with Sam, and we improvised with Larry in the audition. And it very much had that same sort of spirit as Veep did, which is this promoting this idea of owning the character that you're playing and trying things as that character. It was so much fun. And it felt very easy stepping into that world of, yeah.
Yeah. And that's one where you don't even have a script in that show, right? I mean, coming in.
Right. They just give you here's what's happening. At some point this will happen. But there's no script. Yeah. It was, it felt very natural to step into that world, having come from the improv background.
Yeah. And what was Larry David like to work with, to act opposite?
So lovely. Yeah. So lovely. It's, his character on that show stirs the pot so much and is so frustrating in so many ways. But him as a person, he's so generous and lovely. And he was laughing so much, which I thought was cool. He would laugh very generously at what we were doing and other people were doing. And he just seemed to have a great time with it.
Do you know the sex of the child?
We're gonna have a little baby boy.
A little baby boy. Yeah. How about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you thought about the skin color at all?
I'm sorry?
You know, the tone, would you prefer it's a little darker? I would imagine you might prefer it to be a little darker as opposed to lighter, no?
Well, I mean, I've never even thought about it, but I guess darker, I guess.
Yeah, I would think.
What?
Right? Yeah, that makes sense.
You prefer him to be
darker? If somebody's asking me, if I had to choose, I'd say darker.
Why are you choosing?
You probably like it a little lighter, maybe, no?
No, I don't think I want my baby to be lighter. I haven't thought about that at all. I'm surprised that you've thought about it. Yeah, it's just.
I mean, well, I hadn't thought about it, but asked the question. I mean.
I know, but you could have said, I don't have a preference, but you said you'd prefer him to be darker.
You don't have a preference.
No, I don't have a preference.
Say somebody put a gun to your head, said, do you want your baby to be lighter or darker? What would you choose?
Why is someone holding a gun to my head asking me what shade I would prefer my son to be?
I don't know.
Why is he putting a gun to my head?
He wants to find out what your preference is. So you're walking down the street with Will, and he snatches you into the back seat of the car, and now he's got a gun to your head. You want a lighter or a darker baby? What shade?
Get away from me.
What color is the guy holding the gun?
He's mocha, right down the middle.
Right down the middle.
50-50. You want a lighter or a darker?
I would say on the lighter side.
Your resume and your IMDb is just like so incredibly extensive. I feel like you've just been in like every show and done work so much. I mean, how do you kind of manage all of that? And because does it feel like you're working all the time, or does it not feel like that from your perspective?
It does. I feel very, very grateful and lucky that there has been a pretty consistent flow of opportunities. And it has been so fun to like, one thing that I have as a goal is to play in all different types of genres and all different types of projects. And so that has been really cool to get to realize that dream. And like doing that, I did a few episodes of Homecoming on Amazon, which mm-hmm. is such a different like vibe than Curb Your Enthusiasm. But I so enjoyed getting to like play with the versatility of that and like step in these different roles. I feel very, very lucky.
You know, in terms of goals, what are the things that you want to do in your career that you haven't gotten to do yet?
I mean, I would love to be in a fantasy period film.
Mm-hmm. what's the quintessential fantasy period film that you are thinking when you say that? Like,
I mean the first thing that comes to mind, because this was a formative a series of films for me, is Lord of the Rings. Like something like,
I can see it.
Really?
Yeah.
God,
getting
bless,
some like
yeah.
some elf energy, maybe. I don't know.
Oh my God, the ultimate compliment. But yeah, I something or like a very intense drama. I would love to do. I mean, there's so many things, so many different, projects I would want to be a part of, or like stories that I would want to tell. I guess my dream is just that I get to keep meeting people and collaborating with people, that what we're creating is so, so different than anything I've done before, or maybe is in line with it, but heightens it in a way.
I'm sure with everything you've done, you know, you've had to audition a lot. And I'm curious if there's an audition story that comes to mind when you think back on all of your auditions, whether it was something that you ultimately got or didn't get that really sticks out
gosh.
As a formative
yeah.
experience.
so many. But there was this one time I auditioned. It was fairly that like within the first few years that I had moved to LA. So it was early in my auditioning process. It was for a TV show or for a pilot. And the character I was auditioning for was like a very sort of prim Christian, like, but you know, kind of bubbly receptionist. I think she was a receptionist, if I remember correctly. But in the scene, in the sides that I was going to audition with, the other character had the first line and then I had the second line. And so the waiting room was packed at this audition, and it was taking, so I feel like I was there for like an hour and a half or something before I actually went in, and I was wearing a shirt that did not hold up well to sweat. And so by the time it became my turn to audition, I had these giant damp stains under my armpits. And I was like, oh my God, I gotta make it work. Here's the thing. As an actor, you gotta use whatever's around you. You gotta use it. And so I was like, this is what I'll do. I came up with this whole plan in the waiting room. I was like, this is what I'll do. I'll act like my character's having like a private moment where she's examining her sweaty armpit stains. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh no, she's like having this moment. And then the other character will say the line, and then I'll like be caught or whatever. And like that will inform how I deliver my first line. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be great. What a cool, like specific moment. And so I went into the audition room, and the casting directors were there, and we said hello. And then they're like, okay, whenever you're ready. And so I was like, great. So I took a moment and I lifted my arm up, and I was like, oh God, oh no. Oh, like talking to myself about.
Yeah. Really, really committing. Yeah.
Really committing. And they never, the line never came from the other character. And so like an uncomfortable amount of time went by.
Oh my God.
And I was like, do I say my line? Because my line is such a specific response to that first line. And I like eventually was like, so it was so uncomfortable. And I can only imagine that they were looking at me and just totally like taken aback by what I was doing, that they forgot that they had the first line. Anyway, I didn't get it.
You didn't get that one?
I didn't get that one, if you can believe it. But yeah, there's so many little moments like that of trying things or like wanting to bring something to the table that was unique to me. And in that moment, doing something just incredibly strange.
And people maybe not getting it.
Yeah. Yeah, not getting it and not wanting more of it.
Yeah, yeah. So I also want to talk about a little bit about Wild Horses, because
yeah.
I'm a big fan. I got to see you guys at Largo Live once a couple of years ago. And I mean, I guess for anyone who doesn't know, do you want to explain what Wild Horses is?
Sure, yeah. Wild Horses is an improv comedy group. It's me, Lauren Lapkus, Aaron Whitehead, and Stephanie Allen. And we formed in like 2013 and started doing shows at UCB and Largo and places like that. And the structure of our show is we have a special guest each show, and we start the show with the four of us just as ourselves talking. It's very much our version of The View, we like to say.
Oh, yeah. Which one are you? Are you, Whoopi or?
I'm a little bit at all of them. But whenever we talk about like how it's our version of The View, it's like, oh, but we're like actually friends, and we like, we all
we
have
don't
like
hate
kind
each other.
Of, you know, we don't hate each other. We all have kind of similar perspectives. So it's very much not like The View, but that's the spirit of it. And we have like wine, and we're talking, and we're like catching up on our week, or like sharing if we do a thing called check-ins where we share something happened to us or like a thought we've had and get into a little conversation. And then we bring the guest out, and we each have written down questions for the guests, but it's not at all structured like an interview. It's more like a dinner party or something. The guest is, you know, we'll go off on tangents. The guest can ask us questions. It's more like what we have written down is more like to get a conversation started. And it always goes in ways we would, and directions and places we would never expect. So we talk to the guest for like 40-ish minutes, and then we say goodbye to the guest, and then we do an improv set based on our conversation where we weave in details that came up. And yeah, so that's the structure.
Yeah, it's really fun, and all four of you are so incredible. And I saw you are doing some like online Zoom versions of it now, or have
we
you already
are.
Done that? Or are you going to? Or
we did a few in like the early months of quarantine. We did a few. And then I haven't done any this summer. And then we miss performing with each other so much, and I decided to like do a December show at the Dynasty Typewriter, or at the Dynasty. And by that, I mean at the online place of Dynasty.
Does that work? Are you all in your own homes doing it in that case? Or are you actually there? And then, yeah, no audience.
No, we're all in our, all in our homes, but people can tune in live. And this will be my first one, so I'm not entirely sure how it's going to all work, but Lauren's done a ton of them. And it's a great way to, again, like get a big audience, like let it's so accessible to people who don't live in LA and like maybe wouldn't get the opportunity to come see a live show.
Yeah, that's what's so funny about these things, is like there's obviously so many downsides to not being able to perform in front of a live audience, but the fact that people can watch wherever they are, you know, there's a lot of people who would probably have loved to come to your guys' shows who couldn't because they weren't in LA.
Right. Yeah, it feels exciting to have that opportunity now.
How did it go when you did it online earlier in the year? Was it strange to be doing that? Did it work well, do you think, in that format? Or
it was strange, but it was like we discovered a whole nother layer of like what we can do. I remember there was in the like conversation part of the show, I was the host of the Zoom. And so we had talked about like Zoom and how the host can like mute anybody in the call. And so then in the improv scene, there was a moment where my character like took over and I muted each and every one of them. And then they did the most, Aaron, Stephanie, and Lauren did the most amazing, like, they were like trapped in the screen. It was so funny. So there's like cool things you can do with this
it's
format.
Great to, that, to find those things that you wouldn't have thought of otherwise. So what is there anything else? I mean, I know you said you've done a little bit of shooting during this time. Is there anything that you're working on that you have coming up that you are excited about or that's actually happening?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, it's that's always the question is what is actually happening? And like, I feel like there's so many stages of making something that it truly, even though you could be actually shooting something and you could still ask the question of, is this actually happening?
Am I here?
Yeah. There have been a few things that I've done a few commercials, and I have been doing a lot of writing, and Clea and I are working on a TV show idea as well. So there's a lot of things that are in those early stages, but that feel very promising. And I have hopes that they will become things that actually happen.
It's funny you mentioned commercials. Do you have sort of like a strangest commercial experience?
Oh my gosh.
In your career?
Well, I do have I have a commercial audition story that's kind of fun. This was the first commercial I ever auditioned for, and it wasn't really a commercial. It was a PSA for Nickelodeon. And I remember I went in with another woman, and the idea of it was that we were walking on the street, and then we see a chicken wearing headphones that walks by us, and we have to like clock the chicken.
Makes
and
sense.
Like, yeah. but we don't say anything. We just had to like be like, huh, what was it? So he like had me standing more downstage, closer to camera, and had the other woman standing more upstage. And then he was like, okay, so the chicken, I'm going to say action. You're just going to like pretend like you're walking and like just looking at the world around you. And then I'll say chicken. And then you'll notice the chicken coming to you and just react.
That's how you'll know there's a chicken when the man says chicken.
That's how you know there's anything. Whenever anybody says plane, that's how you know there's a plane.
Yep.
You know, it helps keep it really clear. So yeah, so he's like, you'll see the chicken. Don't make a big deal about it. Don't like clutch your pearls or whatever. Just react and then go on with your day. Keep walking. And so I was like, he was like, okay, action. And I was like walking. And then he said chicken. And this entire time that he was just describing what we're doing, I was picturing a 7-foot-tall chicken.
Yeah.
I don't know why I like made that decision, but I was like, okay, yeah. So it's a giant chicken with headphones. And so he said action. I'm walking along. He said chicken. And I like looked up at this towering
Godzilla
towering chicken, and he walked by, and I was like, whoa, it's a big chicken. And and meanwhile, the other woman behind me was doing what was
looking
happen,
at looking
which was
down.
Like looking down. And so I can only imagine what the take looked like, but I didn't get called back. I didn't get it. But like, these are the kinds of swings you have to make as an actor.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta
make big choices.
Gotta make big choices.
That's great. So we end every episode of the podcast by asking comedians, who is another comedian that has made you laugh the hardest or one of the hardest in your life? Could be someone that you've seen perform or someone that you've worked with. Just who comes to mind, someone who really, really makes you laugh?
Lauren Lapkus. Lauren Lapkus makes me laugh so hard.
Me too.
Ugh, I mean, she makes everybody laugh so hard. We have recently been writing together, and so I've gotten to spend so much Zoom time with her. And there have been so many moments where I laugh so hard I cry. She's just one of the funniest people on the planet. I'm such a fan of hers. I'm so glad that I get to have her in my life.
Yeah. Another Comedy Bang Bang staple.
Oh, I mean, the greatest of the great.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for doing this, and congrats on the movie. It's so exciting, and I'm excited for people to see it because it's really, really wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was really fun chatting about everything.
Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and
you too.
Yeah, hopefully we'll talk again sometime. Thank you. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you so much to Mary Holland for coming on this week's show. Happiest Season is premiering on Hulu tomorrow, Wednesday, November 25th. Watch it with your family over Thanksgiving. You won't be disappointed. And if you want to check out the Wild Horses live stream show on Saturday, December 5th, we'll have a link to purchase tickets in the description for this episode as well. If you're enjoying this podcast, how about giving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts? We want as many people to hear this show as possible, and you can help by spreading the word and sharing it with your friends. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Wilstein and at thedailybeast.com. And if you're not already, please follow at Last Laugh Pod on Instagram, where you can see photos and videos from all of our episodes. The Last Laugh is distributed by Acast for The Daily Beast, with audio production by Jesse Cannon. Our theme music is by Claude, who you can find on Instagram at claude.mp3. You can find this show every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And as always, you can find show notes and highlights from each episode on thedailybeast.com. See you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.